Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm John Norman. Alongside me, Steve Harmison, looking back at day two of the third Ashes test. There'll be a day three. I'm not sure there'll be a day four or five, though. An incredible last hour, completely turning the day on its head. A day that you could say England still won, sort of. Let's look back at an incredible last hour and a fascinating day that preceded it here on Following On. So, if you're listening to the show, you know by now, I'm sure, that England bowled beautifully today. Jimmy Anderson, 4 for 33, arguably the best he's ever bowled in Australia, and supported really well. There was variety, there was perseverance, there was skill. And Australia, Marcus Harris aside, struggled. Next highest score after Harris's 76 was Travis Head's 27 on the day, that is. David Warner made 38 on day one. And Australia posted 267, a lead of 82, which they were more than happy with because it meant that they had an hour to bowl at England. And boy, did they make it count. Four wickets falling. Two in and over twice. Stark on a hat-trick. Boland with two wickets in on his home ground. And they weren't even the best bowler. Patrick Cummins. Absolutely insane spell of new ball bowling. And once again, England has had absolutely no answer. So here we are at the end of day two. England still trailing by 51. Six wickets left. Root at the crease. And the Ashes, I think we can now safely say, are over.
Story of the day.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, last night, yesterday I was tired. I was disappointed. I was dejected because of some of the decision-making that the England batsmen had made. Today, honestly, I can't believe the day we've had. It's been an enthralling game of Test match cricket. And a one, like you mentioned rightly in the opener, did England win it? Because session by session, I thought they won the first one. 60 for two in the second one. I thought that was England's because two very, very good middle order batsmen out, stopped the run rate, score and run rate, first innings of a Test match, 60 for two. I think that's an England session.
Yeah, and they only led by 15 at that point as well.
Yeah, only led by 15. I thought if anything, it's a little criticism of Joe's captaincy, a little criticism of, but I can also understand that he's tried to get Leach in the game and he's tried to possibly build Leach's confidence because he knows he needs him for further down the line and he needed a bowl. But coming back on straight after first over, after the break, I think it was a lunch break, I thought that was a Wood bowl the first over, then Leach came on. I thought that was an Anderson for two, definitely. You had to bring your best bowler on there for two overs, and then you bring Leach into the game. That would be the only criticism I had of the day towards England, to be honest, because even at the end, they were blown away. But, you know, first things first. Anderson was magnificent. Again, we go back to the same old, same old for England. Yeah, Anderson performs unbelievably well. And when he got labelled a few years ago that he can't bowl abroad, well, you just look at the spells he bowled in Sri Lanka. You look at what he did in India on flat pitches. Yeah, and then in this game again, he was mesmerising with skill, with accuracy, with discipline, and he probably deserved, if it would have been fitting for him, to deserve a five for. But I also thought Mark Wood deserved more than the two wickets he got as well, because I thought the effort that Mark Wood put in, the pace that he bowled consistently, very, very quick, aggressive into length. He could have bowled a bit more nastier towards the tail enders. I think he needs to get that in his armory, that when he gets 8, 9, 10, 11 in, he needs to start bowling from chest up and not from knee down. And I think they're the sort of only negative little things that happened for me in that bowling department today. Robinson looks as though he needs a rest. And that's not anything against him. I just think he's had to field, what, 10 out of 11 days in a row in Ashes cricket in the infancy of his career. I think he's bowled his heart out. I think he's bowled some good lengths. Leach looked short. He looked wrong of line. Yeah, length was poor. Pierce was, and it wasn't until the back end of his spell that he started to get something going. I thought England bowled very, very well. To bowl Australia out for under 300, even on a pitch that was doing a bit in the first innings of a test match in Australia, I thought that was a great effort. And then, wow, Pat Cummins. Mm. I've just said that on breakfast. That must be like wearing number 9 for Barcelona in the height of my Lionel Messi. Because all that Boland and Stark had to do was land it somewhere close to off stump, and they were going to get wickets, because Pat Cummins, that was ferocious. That was aggressive in the length. That was making somebody play 6 out of 6. And that was asking serious questions. And if anybody doubted test match cricket, that was test match cricket at its best. Throughout the day was a test match cricket at its best. But the last 25 minutes was hostile. It was noisy for the crowd. And I think we've probably seen in that 25 minutes what England cricket team are, unfortunately, that we're possibly not good enough to play and compete at this level. And that worries me a little bit.
Where do you rate that spell from Cummins? Because for me, I found it exhilarating. That first over, I thought, was just... He had all the tricks. Hamid basically hitting his arm guard, looping over first or second slip, then cutting Crawley in half, going past the outside edge. There was wobble balls. There was 90 mile an hour off cutters. There was, he's not necessarily trying to bowl a batsman out, is he? He's aiming at the body. He's aiming at the edge. He's trying to get the splice of the bat. The slip cordon are ready, and they were barking as well. I mean, it's been a nice series, but they knew that was their moment. You could see all of the Aussies were up for it. They were on the noise was just incredible. Must have been how to play that. But for me, watching Crawley and Hamid, I just thought, you haven't got a chance. And that's no disrespect to Crawley, because he hasn't played in 2.5 months. How on earth can you ever, in your wildest dreams, come to the conclusion that he has got the game to face up to that when he hasn't picked up a bat in anger in 2.5 months? Not that I'm saying Burns would have done any better, but Hamid, I'm sorry, just looks so horribly short of where he needs to be. It's almost like he's in a dream and he's about to wake up in a minute and he's going to say, "You can't believe what I was dreaming last night. I was facing Pat Cummins and, the MCG in front of 40,000. Then they're off to school.
That's not a dream. That's a nightmare.
Well, I tell you why, it's a bit of both, I think. He's again, it was exceptional. It was truly exceptional. It was fast and frightening and furious and fiery, and just they ripped the guts out of England tonight. just after, it was ridiculous. I mean, essentially, I'm not sure if there were 90 overs today. Let's say there was 80 overs. England battled. And then Australia just in literally four overs just went, nope.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah, I agree. It was a fantastic spell of bowling. It was up there with the only thing that it didn't have was a wicket.
That's the
frightening thing. And there's a few things in that what I've said leading into it. What worries me a bit about us not being good enough, and probably we weren't good enough to nick it. That's the issue from Cummins's point of view. We couldn't get a bat on him because he's just far too good and he's relentless. And you try and weigh it up and what I said. And this is not something that, you know, to say this, to have a go at the players or anything like that. This is just the reality is we just might not be good enough. That's something that we have to identify when we get home and we debrief this whole sorry Ashes state, whether it was preparation, you know, which was very, very poor, which was, you know, the situation we found ourselves leading into, you know, the World T20 before that, players not being able to play games, not having to go in into the series. But I don't think it would have made a great deal of difference. It would have made a bit of difference, but not a huge amount of difference when it comes to the skill level and the skill, you know, ability to do and execute your skill sets, which probably just aren't good enough. And that, trying to work out how good Pat Cummins' spell was tonight over the, are England just not quite good enough? I think a lot of top orders, would have been 31 for four at the end of today's play. But I think Pat Cummins would have got two wickets and not the Boland or the Stark. Bear in mind, I was on commentary at the time. Yeah, I do the last sort of 40 minutes commentary for BT because Mark Rambakash has to go and do another show for BT when it goes into the extra half an hour. So me and Dan Norcross do the last half an hour of the extra half an hour of the day's play. And I was on commentary when that was happening and that was unfolding. And I was actually taking Mitchell Stark off. 2.3 overs, Stark was coming off because he bowled three overs with a brand new ball in the first innings. And Pat Cummins took him out of the attack because he didn't make Haseem Hamid play anything at one ball. He was bowling wide. He wasn't swinging it. He looked as though he was getting frustrated. And for 2.3 overs, he was actually doing the same. He couldn't get the ball to come back onto the off stump with swing on shape. And he wasn't just getting his lines and his lengths right. And then all of a sudden, he nicked off. And Pat Cummins, I'm sorry, Mitchell Stark is a bowler, a bit like Stuart Broad type, which once he gets on a roll, he just blows teams away. He goes through teams. And when he got Milan, who I even now, I don't think Milan's seen that ball.
Well, he missed it by half a foot.
I don't think he's seen that ball yet.
He's first more like Mitchell Johnson, isn't he, Mitchell Stark?
Yeah, a little bit more like Mitchell Johnson.
When it's his day, he's almost
I actually think
impossible.
He's got more skills than Mitchell Johnson. I think he's a better bowler than Mitchell Johnson. I think he's got more skills. I think Mitchell Johnson's got more aggression. I think Mitchell Johnson is... It would be horrible for the tail to face Mitchell. It's horrible for the tail to face Mitchell Johnson. But I actually think skill-wise... I think Mitchell Stark's a better bowler than Mitchell Johnson.
When they get on a run. Mentality. You know, they're confidence players. They can be a bit hit and miss.
Absolutely.
And their radar could both go a little bit awry. But when on, I think that Johnson was a better test bowler and Stark probably a better ODI bowler.
Yeah, that's fair. But I come back to the question about Pat Cummins' spell. I think India walk out there who batted brilliantly yesterday. You know, Keir Rahul, what an innings that was by Rahul. Rahane got a few and batted nicely, and so had Agarwal. But I tell you what, them three plus Pujara plus Crowley.
Can I say one thing? One thing.
I think they knocked them over.
One thing, right? Boxing Day test last year, Australia bowled out for 195, and these same bowlers have same amount of time at the Indians. And India lose a wicket pretty much first ball and they get through to stumps. And that set them up. And remember, they'd just been bowled out for 36. Mm. And It sounds like I'm being smart, but I literally saw a tweet about it an hour ago.
But this is Ashes cricket. I think this is a different game, and I actually think the pitch is a different contest on this pitch. I think Cummins on this pitch,
similar pitch. Because Poland after four years ago, they changed it because it was such a terrible... They got would they get a poor rating or something? But the point, is it was a ridiculously good spell of bowling, and I don't think there's any shame in what happened. Really. And also, I tell you what, I don't mean to sound like a whinging pom, but it had been sunny all bloody day, and then once again, as soon as England came out to bat, it started to cloud over, and this tour from ball one has just been ridiculous.
Yeah, everything's gone against them. The only thing that, you know, there was the Milan LBW, I thought Leach got one the same.
Yeah.
He got one the same. And I thought, you know what? Are we just got our look back now? Are we starting to get the look and everything go with us? But obviously it doesn't happen. And again, it comes back to this is... For me, in this test series so far, is why we love test match cricket. There's been some great test match cricket being played in here. There's been passages where, you know, teams have had the wood over the bats, had the wood over the ball. But I think both bowling units are very, very good, very, very skillful, very, very aggressive. If England made the right combinations, I don't think there would have been too much difference in the score line. The scores might have been a bit closer.
I think
the England bowling unit was excellent today.
I thought they were fantastic. And like, look, I don't want to sound like I'm making excuses here, but you just, when I was watching England bowl, you know, Steve Smith has not looked the force that he has done against England the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, that you cannot disagree with that. Labuschagne is a good batsman, but you know he has been dropped 14 times. I mean,
he got dropped on 35 when he got 100.
I know he got dropped on 21, and he got dropped by Butler on 21.
Yeah, 21 there. 35.
But the thing is, like, I just think if England had just bowled first at the Gabba, England would still lose the series. They've lost two tosses, you know, and they've been pretty good tosses to win from an Australian perspective. You know, England could have maybe got a draw out of Adelaide. And I'm not talking about if everything went their way, but if they just had got a couple of key decisions right with the... I mean, even now, I cannot work out how you pick Jack Leach to bowl at the Gabba on a green seamer, and because he's so terrible, you then drop him for Adelaide, which is, and it was 35 degrees. And then, anyway.
And as much, John, as I've said, that Root and Silverwood's positions don't really come in question, because it would be short-sighted thinking, because I think we've got a system problem in this country. I do look at some of the decisions that have been made and think, what on earth is going on inside your head? Because little things that have come into Root's captaincy, I think it's showing that some of our players aren't good enough and aren't performing well enough, where he's damned if he does and damned if he doesn't. He's trying to get Leach into the series. He's trying to get a bowl into Leach. But he's not bowling well enough. He's bowling Leach, and he's got no men round the bat. He's got everybody on the boundary.
That was the thing. How many times have you seen that? I remember there was a game. I think Ali and Rashid were both playing, and Root brought himself onto bowl, and he gave himself more fielders round the batter than the bowlers did. He has killed a few spinners over the years, but I don't want to get on a route, because I do feel a bit sorry for him. I think the bowling attacks, they match up pretty well, obviously, and home advantage. Cameron Green's been a revelation
Yeah.
Not just from the wickets, but just the fact that they can throw him the ball and he essentially won't go for any runs at all. So he does just hold up an end. 8 overs, 4 maiders, 1 for 7. Yes.
Yeah, and Stokes is the other way. Stokes bowls 8 overs and goes at 7s.
Exactly. And that's, 10 overs, that's 47.
That's a struggle for Ben to try and get match prep, match bowling. But he's normally expensive, but he normally picks up a wicket. And the luxury of having that all-rounder, and I said this right at the very start of the series, so it's not hindsight, right at the very start of the series, basically when Ben became available, that it's great to have him back. Fantastic for the team. Great in the dressing room. You know, that colossal figure going out there in the batting department. But I said right at the very start, I wanted him to bat at number 3 because I didn't want him to be considered as a bowler. Because I thought, if you consider him as a bowler, we then play Stokes, hasn't bowled for 6 months, half a bowler, potentially going around the park. We haven't got a batting unit to sort of have that luxury. And then because we've got Stokes as a fourth seamer, we have to then play the spin bowler. And he goes around the park because no spinner really bowls that well other than Nathan Lyon in Australia. So effectively, we go with 3 seamers and 2 park bowlers. And that has hampered us in our decision-making for team selection, decision-making at toss at Brisbane. But it doesn't get away from the fact that these, we can go around, around, around about, talk about negatively on the position that England are in. When sometimes, you know, today, you can say in that last hour, off your cap, they were brilliant. But we also have to have the realisation that in Test match cricket, we might just not be good enough. And that is something that England, the ECB and the management team have to take on the chin and try and work out how to be good enough, because something needs to change. And I really don't know what the solution is. I really don't. You know, I've got a lot of ideas, but I'm not sure what the solution is. And I think that is the million-dollar question on how England come away from Australia and be in a position to go to Australia in 4 years' time. Not like what we did in 2021, because in 2017, we were having these conversations then as well.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
What is going to happen tomorrow?
Okay, Harmy, does the third test go to day 4?
I personally, the only way that this test match goes past lunchtime tomorrow is if we have another outbreak or the PCR tests are questionable and we start a bit later. We lose a wicket first thing tomorrow morning and they bowl like what they've just bowled like tonight. I don't see us lasting 2 hours. I really don't. There's only so much you can go back to that well. And I think this team has gone there so many times so far in these last 11 days. I don't think it's got much left. I really don't think it's got much left. Stokes goes first thing tomorrow morning, or the worst thing can happen. Root goes first thing tomorrow morning. Besto goes in, and I'm being as honest as I possibly can here. I really am, guys. I don't want to say this, but I've seen it far too many times with England. Besto goes in. This is not a great situation for Besto. He doesn't like going in when, yeah, it's really pressured. It's on top of you. You've got to try and put the fire out and then regroup and go. He's a more front footer going forward. Besto could potentially get blown away. Where's Butler's head at the minute? No idea. You know, this could be his last test match, really. And that's being honestly. And then you've got Mark Wood coming in at number eight, facing Pat Cummins, Mitchell Starc, Scott Boland, the way they've just bowled tonight. Oh, I think if they lose a wicket in the first 20 minutes, this doesn't go by 4 a.m. tomorrow morning. And that is the stark reality of, unfortunately, actually 2 a.m. tomorrow morning, stark reality of possibly where this England cricket team goes. And I think it's a big and, something I didn't really want to push too hard. But does this take England getting beat badly, really badly, and get beat 5-0 for the powers that be in England and the ECB to wake up and realise something needs to change in the system of first-class cricket in this country when it's played more often than not, more, you know, first and foremost, and do something about it? Because I think we are further away than where we were in 2015 with the white ball side than what we are now, coming away from Australia in 2021 with the red ball side. That is scary.
Well, sorry for a slightly low-key and subdued following on podcast today. We've had a couple of those recently, but delighted that you have stuck with us. Tomorrow will be the Cricket Collective, the turn of Neil Manthorpe. It'll be fascinating to hear his thoughts as an impartial observer. I'm not sure he is impartial, but he's certainly an observer. So, yes, that will be tomorrow's show. Maybe a little bit about South Africa, India, which Harmy made mention of a few moments ago, and a look around at some of the other big stories. But there is only one story, and it could well be this time tomorrow. Australia are toasting another Ashes triumph. Certainly looks likely after England were bundled out for 31 for four at stumps, facing just 12 overs. And what till that point had been the best day of the series for England. Anyway, Harmy, you go and have some sleep. You're back on BT duty later on today. And yeah, see you tomorrow.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.